For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday, June 2nd. Do you know what day it is? It's today in sports betting. Hello and welcome to another day in sports betting. I'm your host, Doug Reed. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. This is Sports Ethos presentation. You need to get to sportsethos.com and check out who we are, what we're all about. We are expanding across all major sports. Already a huge presence in basketball, baseball, football had a great year last year, expanding that even more. Ton of hockey coverage. We've got tennis coverage. We've got golf coverage, podcasts, articles, lots of information, free information, membership information, very cheap, reasonable packages. Whether you're into wagering, the division that I'm heading up, whether you're into fantasy sports, whether you're into DFS, we've got all kinds of information across all the sports. Check us out. There's something there if you're a sports fan. Before we get to the games today, though, I'm going to walk down a day in sports history memory lane. Way back in 1935, Babe Ruth retired on June 2nd at the age of 40. His Hall of Fame illustrious career came to an end on this day. In 1987, Ken Griffey, another Hall of Famer, was drafted number one overall by the Seattle Mariners. Went on to a stellar career with the M's and the Reds. And a little more recently, in 2012, the New York Mets had their first no-hitter in their 50-year history. A lot of great pitchers. Surprised a lot of people, they never had a no-hitter until Johan Santana beat St. Louis 8-0 on June 2nd. 2012, so 11 years ago. So before we get to the games, the NBA championship series kicked off tonight with Miami and Denver, and Denver got the lead early and rolled. They won 104-93, so they won by 11. I think the spread got about 8.5 close. I think at 9, about 8.5, 9. Regardless, Denver covered, and the total was 197. Went well under. I think the total closed at about 218.5. So if you were on the under, you won. If you were on Denver, you won. Next game already up on the board. Denver's a -9, total 214. So about the same line on the number, but the total's come down. If anything, I think I'd be on Miami. I think they bounce back. They'll be adjusted to the climate. All the hype will be on Denver. Denver was up easy, led all game. Shouldn't be all that close a game. I think Miami have something to say about that. And 214, I'd probably lean the under. I think it's going to be Denver's defense is better than people thought. Miami's defense obviously is good. And Spoelstra will be working hard the next 24-48 hours to figure out how to stop Jokic and Murray. Jokic had a triple-double. Murray had a double-double. Second teammates ever, I think, in the NBA Finals to have a double-double in the same game. So impressive. I mean, Denver's looking good. I think Denver wins this series. But I don't think Miami's going to go down with a fight. So should be interesting. Next game, and I'm not sure I'm going to be on it, but if anything, I would be into Miami at +9. So we can take a quick break, and we get back, hit the diamond. All right, on to Major League Baseball in a full slate. A lot of great games, a lot of interesting games to me. 15 games, every team is in action. We start 5-10 in the East. The Milwaukee Brewers are in Cincinnati to face the Reds. The Brewers throw their ace, Corbin Burns, who everybody thinks is going to get has some friction with the team these days, will likely get traded. I'm not sure. They're in first place. I'm not sure they're going to trade their ace unless they fall out of it. St. Louis is not looking like, well, they've been closing the gap, but they're not looking like they're going to really be in the hunt. Pittsburgh, I think, is Pittsburgh again. And the Cubbies, I don't think, are going to make the run that people think. So I can see the Brewers leading the division well into the season. I don't see them trading Brewers. Anyways, back to the game. You can get Corbin Burns and the Brewers at -180 on the money line versus Brandon Williamson and the Reds. You can get them +155. Total here is 9.5. Juice to the over at -115. Some money obviously coming in on the over. No real play for me on this game. Milwaukee is very bad against lefties, though. And I think, you know, I looked at the run line for Milwaukee. They're on the road. High-scoring game. Williamson's not a very good pitcher. But versus lefties, Milwaukee has really, really struggled. They come in with the worst batting average in baseball at .209 against lefties. Their on-base percentage is worst in baseball at .286. And their slugging percentage of .340 puts them worst in baseball. So the triple slash line, they have the worst numbers in all of baseball. And that's why I was kind of considering the under. It's at -9.5 right now. So I wonder if that creeps up to 10. I see about 67% of the money and 54% of the bets on the over 9.5. I might actually lean to the under. Yeah, it's in Cincinnati, but Williamson's not a great pitcher. But Colorado, but Milwaukee's brutal, like brutal. As I said, the triple slash line, worst in all three categories. And then you got Burns on the other side, who should be able to limit Cincinnati. So maybe an under. Going to mark that one to watch it. But maybe under 9.5. Next game, 6:40 in the East. We have the Oakland Athletics in Miami to play the Marlins. I see Shitaro Fujinami on the hill for Oakland. Then I also see Hogan Harris. I think this is an opener kind of situation anyways. Regardless, the Marlins are -200 in the money line. You can get the Athletics +170. Total here is 8.5. Juice to the over -115. And the really only pitcher to look at is Cabrera. 52 innings, 5.02 ERA, 1.50 whip. He has struggled, but he's also shown some, I don't want to say flashes of brilliance, but flashes of some skill. Marlins at -200, can't touch that. Marlins at home on the run line at +105, can't touch that too. I just don't know if I can trust their bats. If anything, I was looking at the under at 8.5, and I grabbed that earlier on DraftKings. So I got it at -105 on DraftKings. I just think, regardless of who starts for Oakland, Miami's bats have been struggling, and Oakland's bats have obviously been struggling too. So if Cabrera's on, I mean, his problem is his walks, 35 walks and 52 innings for Cabrera. That's just not going to cut it. But against Oakland, they're probably not going to be putting the ball in play a whole lot. So I think that both pitchers, Cabrera could limit Oakland, and whoever Oakland's throwing should be able to limit Miami. It's in Miami, not a hitting-friendly environment, so I'm actually on the under 8.5. 7-5 in the East, we have St. Louis traveling to Pittsburgh to play the Pirates. And on the hill, let me just pull this up. On the hill for let me give you lines. The Cards -130 on the money line. You can get the road Pirate, the home Pirates at +110. Total here is 9. Juice of the over at -115. We get Jack Flaherty, struggling Jack Flaherty, on the bump, and I think that's probably why this line is even as close as it is. 58 innings for Mr. Flaherty, 4.81 ERA, 1.53 whip. Has not been going well. Ronzi Contreras seems to be, I guess, typical of a young pitcher on a poor team. Consistently inconsistent. 52 innings, 4.33 ERA, 1.38 whip. 36 strikeouts, so not missing enough bats. I don't really have faith in him here, but I can't back Flaherty. So if anything, I would maybe look to the Cardinals' run line at +125. I like them to be able to get to Contreras for a few runs. I just don't know if Pitt can return the favor. If they can, they could keep this game close. So if anything, I would lean to the Cards' run line here. 7-5 in the East, we have Philadelphia and Washington to face the Nationals. You can get the road Phils at -180, the home Nats at +155. Total here is 9, but juice to the under at -120. So that line is moving down. And I would probably lean to the under. Gray's been pitching a little better lately. And I think Wheeler can stifle the Nats' bats. Zach Wheeler, 65 innings, 3.6 ERA, 1.14 WHIP, having a good season like usual. And Josiah Gray, 61 and two-thirds innings, 2.77 ERA, 1.41 WHIP. 31 walks, this is Achilles' heel, so a few too many walks, and that can hurt, obviously, against a team like Philadelphia. But if you can get a 9 at minus 110, maybe even minus 115, that'd be a reasonable price. I don't want to get to minus 120, so won't be on that game.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Next up, we're in New York, where the Mets have an interleague battle against the Toronto Blue Jays to start Friday. Chris Bassitt returns to New York to face his old team. You can get the home Mets behind Justin Verlander at minus 135 on the money line. The Jays plus 115. Total here is 8.5. Juice to the over at minus 115. So money coming in the over, which surprises me. I know Bassitt didn't pitch well last outing, but he's been doing fairly well. And Verlander has been inconsistent in his few outings this year. Bassitt comes in 66 in the third innings, 3.8 ERA, 1.15 WHIP. Having a good season, 57 strikeouts. So not missing a ton of bats, but missing enough. Verlander, just 30 innings, 4.8 ERA, and a 1.10 WHIP. If anything, I would take the – I'm not on this game, but I would take the Jays on the money line at plus 115. I think this is a coin flip game. Yeah, Verlander's a better pitcher, but Bassett's been pitching well. Verlander, fairly well this year. He had a horrible first outing, and then in about seven, eight games in a row, he did well. In the last couple, he's done all right, but not great. Verlander is still kind of bouncing back. And the thing with Verlander, as always, he doesn't walk a lot of guys, just six walks, but puts a couple guys on base. He's prone to give up that home run, and the Jays certainly have the bats to be able to get to that. So if anything, I would lean the Jays at plus 115. 7-10 in the East. Tampa is against in Boston for an AL East battle. The Rays are minus 125 as the road favorites. The home Red Sox plus 105. Total here is 9. Juice to the over at minus 120, which is odd when you think a game going over between two fairly good teams, but two not great pitchers or pitchers who – sorry, I shouldn't say that. Glasnow is coming back, so he's tough to get a gauge on what he's doing. And Whitlock just hasn't pitched enough this year to really get a gauge on what he's doing. And you got two very good offenses. So, Glasnow just 4 1/3 innings he's pitched. Whitlock, 21 innings, 5.14 ERA, 1.19 WHIP. I like the Rays here. I just don't like a minus 125. On the money line, plus 125, that'd probably be the run line at plus 125, that'd probably be for the play. But Boston has been hitting very well at home this year, and I'm not really sure what Glasnow is going to deliver. He could go out there and throw a dud. Boston could put up 5 or 6 runs in the first half of the game, and Tampa will be chasing them. So probably going to stay away from this game in general. If anything, I would look to the over. It's already juiced to minus 120. If you can get this at, obviously, minus 110, I would take the over. But a minus 120, not going to touch that. 8-5 in the East. We have Seattle in Texas and to play the Rangers. I actually think the wrong team's favorite here. Seattle comes in minus 125 on the money line. The home Rangers plus 105. Total here is 8.5. Juice to the under. So numbers are going down. So pitchers duel. Luis Castillo, the righty on the bump for Seattle. 63 and 2/3 innings. 2.69 ERA. 0.99 WHIP. Good numbers, man. 76 strikeouts. 63 and 2/3 innings. Flip side, though. I mean, he's the guy that gets all the hype. Everybody knows it's a big trade last year. He's their ace. And then there's John Gray, 57 and 57 2/3 innings, 2.81 ERA, 1.11 WHIP, just 46 strikeouts. Not striking a lot of guys, but he's not that far off, I don't think, Castillo. He usually pitches better in Texas. I'm not a huge believer in home road splits, especially in a season. They're kind of a small sample size. But he's 5-1. He's pitched, and that's all I'm worried about here. I'm on the money line at plus 105 for Texas. He's pitched well at home. And then what the big angle to me is, so maybe a slight lean straight up to Castillo. The M's better, bullpen is better than Texas's. But I think the pitching, the starting pitching is kind of a coin flip. The big difference is the lineups against right-handed hitting lineups. So they're both righties on the mound. Texas slash line, .265 .265 average, third best. .328 on base percentage, seventh best. .447 slugging, third best. Flip that over to Seattle against righties. .231 average, 26th best out of 30 teams. .315 on base, 19th best out of 30 teams. And .382 slugging, 20th. So they're in the bottom third in every category. And Texas is third best average, third best slugging, and seven best on base percentage against righties. I think they can get to Castillo. I don't think they're going to light him up by any means, but I think they can get to Castillo. And Gray can hold down Seattle. Plus money, home team. I'm on the Rangers at plus 105. 8-10 in the East. We have the Guardians in Minnesota for a series, AL Central series with the Twins. And you can get the home Twins at minus 135 on the money line. The road Guardians plus 115. Total is 8.5. Juice of the over at minus 115. So money coming in the over, which I don't necessarily back. I'm trying to find out where the splits are here. Yeah, from what I can see, I've got about 47% of the bets, 66% of the money coming in on the under at 8.5. Although DraftKings has it going up, so a little reverse line movement there. Interesting. Anyways, for Cleveland, we have Aaron Civale making his first start since April. Only 12 2/3 innings, 2.84 ERA, 1.03 WHIP. Irrelevant, two starts, start of the year. But he did pitch well in his last couple minor league rehab outings. Flip side is Bailey Ober for the Twins has been pitching well. 40 1/3 innings, 2.68 ERA, 1.02 WHIP. So I like Ober here to shut down Cleveland. If Civale can do his Civale things, they've got a great bullpen behind him. So I think runs could be at a premium. I'm going to be on the under 8.5. It's at right now at DraftKings minus 105. If you can get anywhere minus 110 and below, I think I would jump on that for sure. Also, when I look at these teams hitting against righties, Cleveland is brutal against righties. So their triple slash line for Cleveland, .233 against righties, 24th in the league, .302 on base percentage, 27th, .349 slugging, 30. Worst slugging percentage against right-handed pitching in baseball. Minnesota against righties, .234 batting average, 23rd, .317 on base, 19th. And .406 slugging, 16th. So they have a little more power, but they're not getting on base a whole lot against righties. And Cleveland is really bad against righties with no power. 8.5 total, two decent pitchers, two struggling lineups against those handed pitchers, especially Cleveland. I'm on the under 8.5. 8-10 in these. Colorado is in Kansas City to play the Royals. And just trying to pull this game up. There we go. You can get the home Royals minus 120 in the money line. The road Rockies plus 100. Total is 9, juice to the over. And that's probably due to the weak pitching. Juice to the over at minus 120. So likely going to 9.5. Very sad. We get Chase Anderson, the righty on the hill for Colorado. Shows 5 innings. He's got much more than 5 innings. Go to a different side here. There's Chase Anderson. Yeah, so he had two games in Tampa that started, and then he got traded to Colorado. He's pitched in 3 games for Colorado, so he's pitched 20 2/3 innings overall. But for Colorado, 3 games, 15 2/3 innings, he's given up 13 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. So on the season, 1.31 ERA and 20.2 innings. So he's not having a great year, but he's doing well. And Jordan Lyles, on the other hand, for Kansas City is not doing that well. 660, he is 0-9. 0-9. 61 and two-thirds innings, 7.30 ERA, 1.38 whip. So I'm actually on, in this game, Colorado first five money line. I got it at plus 106. And I'm also on Chase Anderson over 3.5 Ks. So let me go back to Anderson for a second. Not a big number. His totals and his three starts, just three strikeouts, one strikeout, four strikeouts. He's gone five innings, five and two-thirds, and five innings. So he's going to go five innings. They're slowly building up his pitch count. He's gone 59, then 70, then 86. So unless he gets rocked, I could see him getting into the 90 pitch range. And, some stats I'd written down. Kansas City strikes out every 3.6 at-bats. So he has pitched to, in his games, he's pitched to 28 batters, 30 batters, 24 batters. So if he's striking out every 3.6 to at-bats, striking kind of once an inning, he only has to get to into the fourth, really, to have a chance to hit this prop, if all those numbers line up and continue. So he's not a huge strikeout pitcher, but he should be able to get a strikeout an inning. If he can get through four or five innings, he should be able to get over that 3.5. So I got it at minus Chase Anderson over 3.5 Ks, minus 115 in DraftKings. I also got Colorado first five money line, plus 106 on FanDuel. 8-10 East, an AL West battle, which I think this is going to be a hell of a game. This will be a fun game to watch. Pretty much more from the pitching side, I think, than anything. Shohei Ohtani is on the hill for the Halos, and Framber Valdez on the bump for the Astros. Astros come in minus 130 favorites on the money line, and the Road Angels plus 110, 7.5 is the total juice to the over. Ohtani, 5-1, 65 innings, 2.91 ERA, 90 strikeouts in 65 innings, 0.95 whip. Valdez, 5-4 on the year, 72 innings, 2.38 ERA, 1.04 whip. 77 strikeouts, so he's over strikeout inning. I'm not on this game. If anything, I would lean to Houston, but I'm not going to lay 130 at it going against Ohtani. The money line's 160. Not going to lay that either. Their bats have been hot. They've woken up, and I think they could. If anybody can get to Ohtani, they can, but not going to be on it. 940 in the East. Chicago, the Cubs are in San Diego to play the Padres. You can get the home Padres at minus 170 in the money line. The road Cubbies at plus 145. Total here is 8.5, juiced to the over at minus 115. And I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that one. Walker's been pitching well. I'm just not buying the Cubs. I know people are saying they're waking up to doing a little better. I'm not really sure that I'm on that that train yet. So this game's pretty much a stay away from me. Just trying to pull out the pitching matchups here for you. There we go. Tiana, 31 and third innings, 8.04 ERA, 1.69 whip. He has struggled for sure. He's pitched a little bit better lately, but not having a good year. The flip side of that is Walker is having a great year. 57 and third innings, 3.45 ERA, 1.1 whip. Well, great year by his standards. So I like the Padres here, not at minus 170. And I don't know that I like taking them on the red line. Home team, don't get that ninth at bat. It's plus 120. I think you're going to stay away from this game. 940 in the East, Charlie Morton and the Atlanta Braves traveled to Arizona to play the D-backs. I think this is a low-key good pitching matchup as well. Though Morton needs to find himself pretty soon. The Braves minus 120 on the money line as the road favorites. The home D-backs plus 105. Total here is at 9, juice to the over, minus 125. You don't usually see numbers get up to above minus 120. They usually... Totals at 9. Starts out at minus 110. Whatever way money comes in, it goes up to minus 115. On one side, minus 105 on the other. Usually see it get to minus 120, and then it would usually tick back down to minus 110, but the total would go up to 9.5. And I'm surprised DK is at minus 125. They don't usually go that high. You can get the under 9 here plus 105. And I actually think there might be some value in that. These are two good pitchers. Now, Morton has not done that well this year, but he hasn't been terrible. 57 two-thirds innings, 3.59 ERA, 1.47 whip, 24 walks. That's not his game. 63 strikeouts. So he's had over strikeout innings. He's walking too many guys, plain and simple. Merrill Kelly I thought this guy was overrated, came back from, I think, Japan a couple years ago, had a good year and then an average year. And he's putting up some good numbers here. 60 for a pretty average team behind him, 63 2/3 innings, 2.83 ERA, 1.07 whip, 69 strikeouts. He's got over strikeout an inning and a great whip. If anything, I think there's some money, or some money, some value on them in the money line. Plus 105, not a ton of value. If that gets up to plus 110, plus 115 close to game time, I think I might lean towards the D-backs. He ain't going against the Braves, but Kelly's been pitching well. Next game is in L.A., where the Dodgers are hosting the Yankees, which will obviously be a big series. Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers at home, minus 140 in the money line. Luis Severino on the Yanks, plus 120 on the money line. Total here is 8.5, just the under at minus 120. Severino comes in with just 11 innings pitch, 1.59 ERA, 0.79 whips, kind of irrelevant numbers to really gauge what he's been doing. Kershaw, 62 1/3 innings, 3.32 ERA, 1.14 whip. I actually like the plus 120 money line in the Yankees. Not on it yet. I'm hoping that goes up a little. And Dodger money comes in tomorrow because Kershaw's on the hill. Obviously a great pitcher, obviously doing well. But Severino is a good pitcher as well, and plus 120 on the Yankees. I just think there's some value there. Last game of the night, Baltimore is in San Fran to play the Giants. You can get the home Gigantes at minus 155 on a money line behind Logan Webb. The Roto Orioles plus 135 behind Dean Kramer. Total here is 7.5. Juice to the over, but at minus 120, but still a low scoring game expected. If anything, I pull up these splits, and the money's, well, I'm seeing 34% of the money, but, sorry, 34% of the bets, but 77% of the money coming in on the under. However, the under opened at 7, and now it's up to 8. 7.5, now it's up to 8. So if you can get it at 7.5, I think that's, I'd actually play, it's hard to say, I'd actually play the over here. The over on DK at 7.5 is juiced to minus 120. So that they're showing money coming in the over. The number I'm seeing here is coming in the under. I just think that both pitchers can be gotten to. San Fran's offense has been doing well lately, and Baltimore is Baltimore. They've been having a good year. So Kramer comes in 59 innings, 4.58 ERA, 1.44 whip, 48 strikeouts. Putting the ball in play, giving up too many runs. Logan Webb, 72 innings, 2.75 ERA, 1.07 whip, 76 strikeouts. So he's been pitching much better. But I think Baltimore is a legit team. Obviously a legit team, but they're not about to fade. They're not just on a hot streak like they were the first half last year. And I think that, I mean, Logan Webb's pitched well recently. Hasn't given up more than one run in any of his last four starts. And that was against Milwaukee, Miami, Arizona, and Washington. So not exactly a murderer's row. Baltimore's definitely a much better hitting team. I can see them getting to him for a couple runs. I can see both teams getting to each pitcher for three, four runs. Baltimore's got a great bullpen. Giants, kind of average bullpen. If anything, I would look to the over on this game, but not going to be on it. So that's a wrap for Major League Baseball. In hockey, Stanley Cup starts on Saturday, which should be an exciting game. So we might get to that tomorrow. But going to wrap there. Number plays in baseball for you. Not sure where I'm going on the Heat Nuggets game 2. Right now, leaning towards the Heat +9. If that's got the +9.5, I think I jump on it then for sure. Leaning probably to the unders at 214. Going to watch that. If that moves up, even better. If not, I'll probably stay away from that. So, hopefully you enjoyed the show. If you would go to your podcast provider, rate and review, do great things for me, do great things for us at Sports Ethos, and help grow the show. Hope you make some money. Hope we make some money. Hope I make some money. And hope you have a great day in sports betting.